It's the longest surviving settlement in Victoria. I don't like to say the first settlement because the first settlement was at Sorrento in 1802. And then, of course, there was Coronella in 1829 and then us in 1834. So, well, actually, we should say 1829 too, I suppose, because Dutton came here at that point sealing. And it was because Dutton was here that the Henty boys came to have a look at the place and pick up whale oil and discovered how good it was.
So from him on then, and then the Hentys arrived, did Portland build pretty quickly from that point?
It sort of stayed static for a long time at, you know, sort of around about 1,000 people, give or take a bit. And when the immigrant ships came in the 1850s, if you had two immigrant ships in town, you doubled the population, which must have been challenging. But because there were 11,395 immigrants came through the port in 7 years. Melbourne had most of the immigrants over the years, but Portland, being out where it was, and particularly after the discovery of gold, found itself totally unable to get labour for the pastoral runs or anything else. And they wrote specifically to England asking that some of the immigrant ships be sent to Portland instead of to Melbourne. And it actually happened. Quite a lot of people got off here and went anyway, but there are still families here who sort of got off the boat and there they stayed.
Now, what would they have been met with then at that time, hopping off the boat? What did Portland look like?
It had been surveyed, so the streets were settled, and by the mid-1850s, they were building the churches and the banks and all the good stuff, but prior to that, it was just a very small town.
So what was the next big leap forward for Portland then?
After the immigration ships stopped coming here, everything went very quiet for a long while. There was an exhibition here in the 1880s. Probably the next thing that made any waves at all was the outbreak of the Boer War and the local lads who went. But they were mostly outside Portland, Portland District rather than Portland people. What they needed was fellows who could ride a horse and shoot at the same time. Yes. Then I suppose as we go on, the wars, World War One and World War Two, are probably had the biggest impact, shall we say. I was going to say highlights, but that's not. the biggest impact, yes.
What about some of the commercial history of Portland as well? I mean, obviously these days it's still very much a centre for this part of the southwest, and I imagine that that's probably continues to grow. In years gone by, it would have been very different, I would have imagined, the commercial landscape.
Different years, but still busy. Portland in the 1800s, it was self-sufficient. It had its bootmakers and its dressmakers and its bonnet makers and its breweries, and everything was available here and made here.
What about hotels and things like that? I mean, there's the Max Hotel, I guess. It's probably the most famous remnant from the past in that regard, is it?
Oh, I suppose. Well, in the very, very early days, if you read Gwyn Bennett's book on the hotels of the district, there was a hotel for every 16 people. Now, they weren't what we know of like hotels today. They were more like wine bars or beer bars or, you know, that sort of thing. But, Max Hotel dates back to 1856. And the Gordon is on the same site and has the same license as the commercial which preceded it. The hotel itself dates back to the 1880s, but the original license is for about 1840, and it is the oldest license in Victoria. There were one or two pubs who would argue that, but we actually have the proof.
Now, there are... We mentioned that the moment we're sitting in the what was the Old Town Hall, which is now History House, and the buildings around this precinct have all survived very nicely, haven't they? And there's some very interesting old buildings dotted around here.
Well, some of them have survived. History House, of course, was built in 1863. An interesting point there... By about 1907, the councillors were wanting to demolish it and build something better. We have the rocket shed, which was built in the 1880s to replace an old wooden shed that was there earlier. And that housed the rescue rockets and ropes and all that sort of thing for shipwrecks. We have the watch house, which was the early lockup. That's a wine bar these days.
Somewhat ironic change of purpose there, perhaps?
Just a titch. The courthouse dates back to 1844. And, of course, the customs house. It's a little gem. The working part of it's up steps. And down underneath they have a wonderful little museum, which is open if you ask.
And what sort of things are in there?
Things confiscated off ships. It's a customs museum, and it's quite fascinating.
I imagine another big change for Portland must have been the port 50 years ago, the Port of Portland, when that set up. I mean, prior to that, when that came, do we know what sort of impact that had on the town, or perhaps the perception people had of Portland?
Well, we've certainly got K.S. Anderson to thank for it, because he worked tirelessly for more years than I care to remember. I gather he sort of started working on the idea when he came back after World War One, and it was 1960 before it became a total reality. So I don't know whether I would have had the staying power for that.
as a piece of infrastructure, or as an industry for Portland, though, what sort of impact has it had?
It's had a heck of a big impact, actually. Ships are safe. Fishing fleet are safer than they were, because prior to the building of it, the southeast gales used to blow in here and do an awful amount of damage. There's pictures from various gales sort of back to the 1920s, and when virtually the whole fishing fleet was lost.
I suppose the other big thing that people associate Portland with these days as well is the smelter. Once again, what sort of impact has that had on the town?
Probably more than a lot of people recognise, actually. It certainly bumped the population up at the time that it was being built and the area thereafter, or time thereafter. It also caused a lot of heartache as well. The Alcoa came here with the intention of building in the early 80s, and lots of people had sort of built flats and bought land and what have you. I suppose you could be nasty about it and say trying to make a killing. You could say that they were providing necessary infrastructure. But for various reasons, it was put on hold for several years, and quite a lot of people went bankrupt over it and lost their homes. And there was a lot of angst at the time, but since it's been built, the people who have come to work in the smelter seem to have settled into Portland, and quite a lot of them have got involved with their kids' schools or various other things around the town.
There are many other things, of course, to see these days when people come to visit town. There's a fantastic botanic gardens, which we've explored in the past, and the very interesting Water Tower Museum, which is one of the more unusual highlights, I think, of the place. What else would you point people to, particularly, if they're coming to visit?
History House.
Apart from History House, of course.
Well, I'd point them at the Maritime Museum, of course. I'd suggest they take a drive out the Lee Breakwater, particularly if there's a ship coming in, because you can practically reach out and touch them. St. Stephen's Church of England is a beautiful church with some lovely windows. I'd say go and have a look at it. I'd do the town walk, which is in the brochure that the tourist office put out. I'd go and have a look at the Portland Arts Centre. They usually have some interesting exhibitions on there, particularly since the arrival of Trevor Smith.
And what sort of a place is it these days? I mean, you mentioned that it has changed and the smelter's changed things to, I think it's about 10,000 people, is it, the population now? Does it still feel like a country town? Do you feel like you know everybody, or does it sort of straddle, I don't know, that with perhaps a bigger sort of city feel perhaps?
I think it's not as sort of everybody knows everybody as much as it was, say, 20, 30 years ago, but it's still very much a country town.
In talking about things like the smelter and the port and so on, they've obviously brought a lot of industry and people to the town. What sort of things have perhaps come and gone which have taken people away?
Oh, the sale of the meatworks in the 90s.
How big a thing was that for the town, though? Or how big an employer, or how important an industry was the meatworks?
Well, I think you can probably say that everybody in town has worked at some stage, even if only for a month or two, at the meatworks. Yeah. It started in 1895, and most of the kids leaving school did a couple of months there before they went to uni, lined their pockets to go, and it was good money. And, it was a real blow to the town when that happened.